Six MPC interest rate decisions all kept on hold except for an arguable correction cut in July after the hike we saw last November. This time around, we had three out of the five MPC members opting to keep rates unchanged, while the remaining two suggested that a cut may be needed. I was joined by a panel of experts to analyse the decision earlier today. Kevin Lings, chief economist at Standard, Tertia Jacobs, who's treasury economist at Investec, and Nikki Weimar, senior economist at Nedbank as well. Nikki suggested that this may have been the governor's last chance for a cut. He didn't take it. So was this a flashback to November 2018, where arguably the wrong call was made? Here's Nikki's response.
You know, they would obviously argue that the risks are quite significant, especially to the currency. And it's very clear that a lot of the concern about our fiscal situation, our fiscal position, what that would imply ultimately for our sovereign risk rating, and as was explained quite elaborately, for the neutral interest rate, and their ultimately for their rate setting decisions. They believe that's quite significant. That's clearly coming through. And in the interim, they would rather wait and see and get some clarity on this risk, or handle on this risk, or the ability to quantify it before they make a decision. Listen, our base forecast was for rates to remain unchanged. But if we looked at it, we felt that there's no real harm that would come to inflation under the current circumstances if you were to cut rates and provide some stimulation. Nobody, I think, is expecting a rate cut at this point to bring about miracles in the South African economy. It's more just going to sort of grease the wheel that there's at least something turning.
Yeah. Kevin, I ask about the previous misstep and then today's decision in relation to that, because what it puts in the spotlight are how wrong the SARB quarterly projection models have possibly been when it comes to inflation forecasting in particular, and fueling those that have been critical of the hawks that do sit on the MPC. What have you made of those projections at this point?
So I think they remain very conservative. Obviously, I would have expected the inflation forecast to change a little bit more to the downside. I think the inflation outlook has improved. Clearly, there's the unknown of the rand and the exchange rate, but I would argue that's always unknown. So I don't know that you would ever feel comfortable with whatever exchange rate you're using for your inflation forecast. Mm-hmm. It seems clear to me that overall, the Reserve Bank is now more cautious, more hawkish generally. Whether it's to do with this 4.5% endeavor to get inflation anchored around 4.5%, that's a little bit unsure. It's, though, very evident from the vote, 3-2, and from the data, that if it weren't for the uncertainty around Moody's, they would have cut. Mm-hmm. So that tells us that they're probably not going to cut early next year. They'll wait for the Moody's outcome, which I assume would be around about March.
Yeah.
And that if the Moody's outcome is even for downgrade, but the currency is holding on and the environment seems fairly stable, then we would be talking actively about interest rate cuts. So this suggests a very, as I said before, a very conservative approach to monetary policy, not willing to really put anything at risk, and putting a lot of focus back onto the government in terms of, so what do you have to do to get growth? You have to get confidence right, policy right. It's got nothing to do with interest rates, which I think is fair, but I do think there would have been an opportunity in this meeting to at least help at the margin.
Yeah. Tertia, we were chatting off air about the sense one got off a little bit of a shift that's been happening, you know, from inflation mandate being one thing and that focus then shifting to country risk overall. How much of a safeguard is a hold against that potential country risk that South Africa does face?
You know, I mean, when you look at the country risk premium, it plays out very much in the yields on the mid-long and long-dated government bond yields. I mean, when you look at bonds maturing in about 2048 and even 2030, I mean, that risk premium, the real rate, is around about 4-4.5%, which is significant. So, and I think that reflects the very wide country risk premium. So the only way that you are actually going to reduce that country risk premium is that anything that is growth positive, mm-hmm. that can bolster your GDP growth, that is good for government tax receipts, that can reduce that budget deficit, will be constructive. And the other point that the governor also made is obviously the borrowing requirement of the government. You know, when you look at a budget deficit of 6.8% for this year, next year also above 6%, the amount of bond supply, in other words, the bonds that government issue on a weekly basis to fund itself, is really very, very high. And you know, South Africa has a current account deficit, and I think that also came through in the discussion, is the large current account deficit in the context of attracting finance combined with a budget deficit. And South Africa is not a country that saves a lot. So you need to get foreigners involved, you need to attract foreign savings. And in order to do that, you've got to make South Africa attractive. And that, all of that then feeds into the country risk premium. So yes, the onus is very much on the government and obviously the trade unions to do constructive dynamic, or do something constructive for the economy.
Nikki, in the interim, do we need just a temporary fix? Because a question that was asked, posed to the governor was, why not cut interest rates just to get that consumer spend going again? And we know that, may work, but it's not necessarily all good because there are inherent risks that come with that too.
Yeah, listen, I think on the consumer situation, I mean, we are hearing increasingly that consumers are very vulnerable, that debt levels are very high. On the banking side of it, you are seeing a situation where there's been a slight deterioration in, ability to pay among consumers, maybe a slight uptick in impairments and defaults, but nothing too dramatic. And then on the outside of sort of the formal banking industry, we do understand it is quite difficult. Mm-hmm. You know, the sort of informal lending side of the equation, consumers are heavily indebted, a lot of people are applying for restructuring. So obviously an interest rate cut, here's the thing, it probably won't help that consumer that much because of the way their interest rates are structured, often around permanent, sort of fixed at a certain level. But it will help you more, sort of streamlined, mainstream consumer that borrows from a commercial bank.
It could help. Yeah. How much headroom and how much support does this stance provide the SARB itself? Because, mention was made of talking to not limiting that space the SARB has to respond to any external shocks that do emerge further down the line, Kevin.
So clearly for them the risk-reward relationship is saying let's keep rates on hold. It's not worth the effort to cut. It's, as I say, disappointing, but clearly that's how they evaluate it. It says that if Moody's rating is a downgrade, the rand's under pressure. That doesn't mean they've done enough in terms of interest rates. They may, under extreme circumstances, be forced to hike rates. And from what they seem to be suggesting, they would obviously consider that if all of these projections change for the worse. My view, though, is they probably have a level of rates to see us through that. I don't think they'll have to respond with higher rates. So I expect the next discussion is about a rate reduction end of next year.
Well, that was Kevin Links, Chief Economist at Stanlib, Tertia Jacobs, Treasury Economist at Investec, and Nikki Weimer, Senior Economist at Nedbank as well.